We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is Darius Miller.
This is Drew Hardy.
This is Lance Thomas, Tyree Gavin.
Jason Smith.
Anthony Davis of the New Orleans Pelicans.
You're listening to.
And you are listening to In the Know.
In the Know.
The Bourbon Street Shots.
Bourbon Street Shots podcast.
All Pelicans, all the time.
Welcome to our first mini podcast. And since Michael and I are so long-winded, it's probably not going to be a mini podcast. But that's just the way we are. Michael, are you excited to talk about these two guys?
I'm excited.
Excited.
That's it.
Oh, you're going to be talking really fast.
Moving fast.
All right. So, Eric Gordon, basically, the way I look at what actually happened this offseason, and I'm always a little flustered and annoyed by people like Bill Simmons, even, who just don't really get what happened this offseason, where they're like, I can't believe they signed Tyreek Evans because he doesn't fit the team. That's crazy. That's the dumbest idea I've ever heard. As if they're unaware of the fact that Eric Gordon gets injured all the time. And that Tyreek Evans, in my opinion, is basically there as an insurance policy. And honestly, I fully expect that at some point, one of these two players, most likely Gordon was the one who they were thinking about at the time, is going to be traded. Neither of these players are like playing out of their minds crazy. But I do think that they're pretty similar in overall impact. At least I feel that way. So let's talk about them. Who do you want to talk about first? Eric Gordon, Tyreek Evans? Who do you want to like focus on a little bit?
I mean, we've never really spent any time on Eric Gordon on this podcast, so let's go with him.
Okay. Right. We don't talk about Eric Gordon much at all. All right. So let me talk, just give you like my general take on Eric Gordon and compared against what Tyreek Evans gives us offensively. I feel that Eric Gordon gives this team a more versatile attack and helps more as a decoy and to make this team able to run plays more than Tyreek Evans does. So as just a pure offensive impact player, I would give him the edge over Tyreek Evans almost just because he's a better decoy because he can shoot. How do you feel about that statement?
So scoring, yeah. I mean, I think when I think of offensive players, I think of playmaking ability as part of being an offensive player. I definitely, if I'm thinking of a guy that I want to drive to the basket and create for someone else, I'm picking Tyreek 100 out of 100 times over Eric Gordon.
Okay.
And then versatility. See, I still think that Monty Williams is figuring out how to best use Tyreek. I mean, we've seen it before where, you know, guys get off to a slow start here. It's usually after the second summer with the staff that we've seen guys take off, like a Jason Smith. even Bellinelli improved a lot that second year with the team. I still think that you got to give Monty a little bit more time as he's trying to get to know Tyreek's game to really understand his vision. But I just think raw abilities, you know, and things that I could do with him. I love the playmaking ability. I think he's a better finisher at the rim, able to get to the rim better. And I really think that eventually we're going to see this staff utilize his post-up game. So I think when it comes down to overall offensive ability, yeah, Gordon is the better scorer. I like Tyreek, you know, just as much because of his ability to make plays for others.
I don't know if I agree. I mean, I do agree that Tyreek is more likely to find a person on a drive than Eric Gordon, or at least try to find a person on a drive than Eric Gordon. I don't know if he'll actually find them or not. But when I'm thinking of the offense, of like when I've seen this offense humming, Eric Gordon feels like he's part of that engine. Like, he flares to the wings at high speed. He can come off your picks. He can be a Rip Hamilton with range, I feel, and a good offensive attack, where he could actually be getting to all the right places, be a nice 18-point-per-game filler. He's going to be hitting the right shots, getting a few rebounds, a few assists per game at most, not many turnovers unless, you know, he's having to be asked to do too much. And Tyreek Evans, I don't see him being able to be complimentary in an offense. I see him being the guy who's got to have the ball in his hands for him to be an impact player. And on this team, Drew Holiday should have the ball in his hands, not Tyreek Evans.
I always say, I got to see both of these guys playing playoff basketball to really get a true evaluation. I think they both have warts in their offensive game. I don't know which one good opposing coaches could expose more. I don't think there's many guys who are, you know, wing players who are better in the low post. The stats bear it out. The eye test bears it out. The couple of times that Monty's gotten him in the low post, and I'm not talking about his back to the basket 18, 19 feet away. I'm saying legitimate low post. He's been able to get fouled or get shots for others. And I'll say the other thing that I think he is much better at offensively, this isn't hyperbole. I've never seen a guy as talented as Eric Gordon offensively be as bad as he is running a multi-person fast break. I mean, two-on-one.
Do you think Tyreek is better at that?
Yeah, because he at least goes to the rim and finishes on his own or gets fouled. I've seen so many two-on-one. I mean, so many. That now I'm exaggerating, but before I was. I've seen at least 5 to 7 two-on-one fast breaks led by Eric Gordon that I could honestly say, as a person who studies the game, I have no clue what he was thinking or intending. Tyreek isn't perfect, but at least he gets to the rim and either scores or gets fouled.
I don't think there's any question that Tyreek Evans has a better all-around game than Gordon does. I mean, his rebound rate is 10% compared to Eric Gordon's 4.9%. He gets 17.5% of the defensive rebounds out there, which is, you know, those are numbers that are small forward worthy and some power forward worthy. He has a better assist to turnover ratio. You mentioned it before. He assists 23% of the time, and Gordon assists 14% of the time. So let's shift to the opposite side. Tyreek Evans, Eric Gordon, are either of them average defenders or better?
I would say on ball, yeah.
Okay. And do you think how about off ball? Are they worse than average?
I think Tyreek Evans is really bad to terrible.
Okay. How about Eric Gordon?
Eric Gordon, I would say average. Now, okay. I would say as help defenders, that flips. Tyreek Evans is average. Eric Gordon is really bad to terrible.
Who would you rather have tracking a guy on the ball, Evans or Gordon?
I mean, you'd have to give me the guy.
Okay. let's say, Monte Ellis.
Monte Ellis, I'd probably go with Gordon. But somebody like James Harden, I would go with Evans.
So Evans, you would give the bigger guys, and Gordon, you would give the small, the quicker guys.
Yeah, I mean, I think Gordon could defend the one better. I think the two, if you were looking at all the twos around the league, it would break about even. And Evans is the only one out of the two who could cover the three. So I would say he could cover more people in this league at an above average rate than Eric Gordon can.
Hmm. I don't feel like, I think Tyreek Evans would obviously do better at the small forward position, but I don't think he'd be as good at shooting guard, and I don't think he can guard point guards at all. So I'd actually rank Gordon, if I'm playing just wing perimeter players, I see Gordon as a little bit more capable on the ball than Tyreek Evans. Or do you think that, like, those wing matchups when they're going against, you know, bigger wings like Paul Pierce or Paul George or any other Pauls I can throw at you, that
Pablo.
Having Tyreek Evans there matters on a team that has Al Farouk?
I mean, yeah, and then you also have to consider different lineups and mix and match. I don't think there's going to be many times when either guy's going to be up against a point guard, so I think that's kind of a moot point. I think when you take the overall twos and threes, I would just say if you took, you know, the 60 starters and maybe the 30 quality backups at those positions, you took the 90 guys and we went down the line, I just feel like there would be more guys that, you know, I would choose Tyreek, but it wouldn't be huge. I just really like his wingspan closing out on shooters. I like, you know,
got me there.
Yeah, I like obviously his ability to keep guys from posting up, from shooting over him, and then like I said, with the help defense, we've talked about it before. Gordon is pretty much worthless when it comes to that, and that's what this team plays, like it or not. I know a lot of people don't like Monty's defensive system, but that is what he plays. So you've got, you know, if that's what he's going to stick to, you got to find guys who fit it. Eric Gordon does not fit this defensive system seemingly at all. So, you know, first of all, paying him max money, and secondly, you know, choosing him over Tyreek, which I think is the big question that we're eventually working our way to.
Yeah. But that's just on the ball. You brought up help defense.
Right.
So, actually, you brought up off the ball and help defense. Of course, off the ball being keeping track of your man and staying with them when they don't have the ball. And help defense is knowing when to jump and help somebody else when they're beat. And off the ball, you don't like Tyreek. So what does Tyreek do that drives you nuts off the ball?
I mean, just plays a little too far off his man, doesn't check in enough to see where he's at. I also feel like it seems like he doesn't really know the scouting report as well as he should by the way he plays guys. And, you know, this was something that is not only an observation of mine, it's something that Kings writers let us know about. And it was something that Monty Williams actually pointed out at the initial Tyreek press conference that he wanted, you know, to see Tyreek improve in. And I definitely think it's a matter of a half a step. It's a matter of anticipating, you know, a pick and roll or a pass before it actually comes. I think, you know, that's something that could come with time. I think Eric Gordon's issues with a help defender is just a lack of want and really just a lack of ability because of the size. So if I think both of them are terrible at each of those things. But if I had to bet on one getting to average, I would bet on Tyreek getting to be an average off-ball defender over Eric Gordon becoming an average help defender.
So wait, you think Eric Gordon is awful off the ball?
No, I think he's awful as a help defender.
Okay. How do you feel about his off? Because I mean, Tyreek, you're right. Like, he gets beat backdoor fairly often. He likes to step in and swipe at the ball, which Eric Gordon does too. But how do you feel about Eric Gordon's off the ball? Like, when you see a shooting guard flying around off picks or just spotting up and then cutting, how do you feel he does trying to stop that?
I think average. I think time to time. I think he's good at jumping lanes. I think that, you know, he's definitely more aware and active than I feel that, you know, Tyreke Evans is off the ball. But again, his height kind of limits it. And maybe this is where Tyreke does have problems with off the ball, is maybe he thinks because he is so long as a defender that he could play off a little more than he should. So maybe the fact that Gordon is a small guy makes him have to, you know, focus a little more and be more conscious of it. But I think Gordon is average there. I wouldn't say he's great. I wouldn't say he's bad.
If you have a good team that knows how to help each other, which there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it, this Pelicans team doesn't know how to do. They're a very bad help defensive team, which is why they get smoked all the time. And Anthony Davis is as bad as this as anybody else. I mean, he's still learning the game. There's no question about it. But, you know, even if one guy's not tracking, if you got good help defenders, it's not going to matter as much because you can communicate and switch and still cover that guy. So who would you give the edge to? I think I give Eric Gordon a little bit of an edge offensively. You give him an edge as a shooter, but not offensively. Who do you give the edge defensively? Who do you think's more of a negative impact or more of a, I guess, who's the more positive impact? Let's keep this positive.
Yeah, I think Evans by a hair.
Okay. So now here's the question then. And I think this is a little unfair because we know how you feel about Eric Gordon and his contract and his injury history and that you would want him traded anyways. If you were just thinking for the future team, just cast out contracts, cast out injury history even in this case. If you had to have one of these guys for the next 3 years, which one would you rather have?
I mean, the part where I'm getting sad is that I almost want to ask if I could have neither. But...
Wow.
I mean, but you're saying take out contracts and take out injury history. So if you could, I guess if you could guarantee me 82 games from both, and for some reason their salary doesn't matter, I guess I would probably say, I don't know, it would be really tough. I guess I would lean, if you could guarantee me health, Eric Gordon, just because I've seen him really put up numbers, you know, for a small stretch before offensively in a way that wasn't smoke and mirrors the way that Tyreke did it. And, you know, I think having a guy like that, again, Gordon, the way he was in L.A., you know, would give a dimension that this team doesn't have otherwise. But, again, that's taking injuries and contracts off the table, which is a huge thing to do.
Right. So now let's reverse it. And by the way, I would say Tyreke Evans. I don't think you, I'm not sure I wanted to say that, but I would say Tyreke Evans. And it's more because I feel Jrue Holiday doesn't have to have the ball in his hands, and you could let Tyreke Evans be alpha and Jrue Holiday still work around the perimeter just fine. Let's now put everything back on the table. And we've got to take into consideration everything when we do this. So there's injury history. Both of us believe that Eric Gordon at some point is going to be missing some amount of time, even though he's been playing very well this year.
Yeah, I was thinking, wouldn't that be funny? We've seen the big five. Three of the big five have gone down. Eric Gordon has it. Wouldn't that be the all-time ironic, hilarious season? If everybody else got hurt and Eric Gordon gave you 82 games,
it would actually be extremely comforting to me. But yeah, I don't think it's very likely to happen. So both of us, of course, have you know, said in the past we believe Eric Gordon's not going to give you a full season. Tyreke Evans has never given you a full season either, but his history is a little bit better than Eric Gordon's has,
right?
More than a little bit better. And then there's a difference of about $4 million in their contracts. there's the fact that if you make any sort of trade with either of these guys, you're going to have to be able to match salaries. So first question is, if we're talking trades, one of these two guys, if one is a B and one's a B minus, say, but B guy has a much bigger contract, he's probably like a trade value of a C plus. So that's where we got to get to next. Who do you think has the higher trade value? Tyreek Evans has, his reputation has taken a beating.
I mean, amongst the uneducated, yeah. I mean, it takes a beating from, I don't know how often I see, his stats have gone down every year. Mm-hmm. I mean, I give scouts and GMs a little bit more credit than, you know, no offense, the fans I see on Twitter. I agree that amongst them and other people not doing their homework, that Tyreek might have taken a beating, but amongst the educated, I'm pretty sure that the majority of scouts and GMs in the league know that Tyreek's best season was last year. I don't think it would be a universal answer. I think if you ask who has the bigger trade value, Anthony Davis or Ryan Anderson, that's a universal answer. All 30 GMs will answer the same. To me, the GMs who want to, you know, who are like, look, I got to swing for the home run, even if I don't hit, I'm tired of pedaling around in mediocrity. I think the home run is Eric Gordon. If you could get him back to where he was for, you know, that stretch with the Clippers when it looked like he could be a guy who could be a potential league leader candidate in the scoring category, if you could get him back there, he's a potential home run or at least a triple. I think Tyreek Evans is the safer bet if you're looking for another piece to help you round out an already good roster. So I think maybe 20 GMs would have Tyreek as the better value and 10 would have Eric Gordon. It would really depend on which situation you're in.
Okay. So then let's take that the next step then. The GMs who are going to want to be swinging for the home run, aren't they the ones who are also more likely to give up more of the type of assets the Pelicans are looking for? I mean,
yeah, I agree. I still really don't know what the Pelicans would be looking
for. It's true.
In a trade, I mean, we could say small forward. There's so few of them, and the ones who are good are, you know, at the end of their prime. I mean, are
I don't think we're looking just for a small forward, though. I wouldn't be surprised if we pulled in a solid center.
Yeah, but who? I mean, this is what I'm, I mean, yeah, there's a couple. I mean, I would do a Gordon for a chic trade in a second. Obviously, it would have to be a three-teamer, and I've thought of a couple of them that would work, but Gordon for Spencer Hawes, knowing he's a free agent, probably not. I mean, that list starts to get really, really small at either position, and, you know, that's where you start to get yourself in a little bit of danger. And then plus, you and I are sitting here advocating almost every week that Anthony Davis's future is at center. So why are we looking to move a major piece for, you know, a center or a guy who's obviously not going to play in the finishing five?
Probably because I think that having a guy around for a couple of years at center to play next to Anthony Davis can't hurt if you get a capable player.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, again, you would have to give me
Al Jefferson,
a specific guy. Oh, God, no. I'd rather just start the Davis experiment at center early. I guess it would depend. With Tyreek Evans, I don't even see the point of really discussing him. I looked back, and I really tried to think in NBA history. I really can't think of a guy that was signed to a big contract in the off season from another team that was then traded that year. It just doesn't happen. I mean, there's absolutely no way that Dell moves Tyreek anything sooner than February of next year. And that would be at the soonest. I still don't even see it then. I don't even really see the point in discussing a Tyreek trade, because it would just completely go against everything we know about NBA history. I mean, when does that happen?
I'm trying to think.
It
doesn't happen. You're right. It doesn't happen very often.
It doesn't happen. The closest is Nene, but he was Denver's free agent. They basically just re-signed him because they didn't want to lose an asset for nothing, and they traded him later that year for JaVale McGee. But to go out, overpay for a guy on another team, to court him in that way, and then trade him in February, it quite frankly never happens. I would be utterly shocked if he's traded this year, and that includes this upcoming summer.
So I don't want to quite get into trade speculation. Maybe we can keep that for another one of these. Let's bring this to a little wrap up. You would prefer to have Eric Gordon on the team. I would prefer to have Tyreke Evans, though it's pretty close for both of us. I think you're right that Eric Gordon would be more likely to be traded. So let's just do this. If Eric Gordon manages to make it through the trade deadline without any sort of major injury, or maybe a sprained ankle and he misses three games.
I shut him down. That way he still has value going in the summer. No, go ahead.
What are your odds that Eric Gordon, by the trade deadline, is wearing a different team's uniform?
I would say 20%.
That low, huh?
I don't see it. I don't see who. To me, there's maybe two teams, Detroit and Charlotte, that seem to make sense. But, you know, what's funny to me is whenever I propose a trade for Eric Gordon, people go, why do you want to trade Eric Gordon? He's our second best player. And then they turn right around and they go, but you're not going to get anything for Eric Gordon because of his injury history. How is it both? I mean, right. if the guy's good, shouldn't I be able to get something for him? So, but I mean, I really don't know. We saw Sacramento make a desperate desperate move. I don't know how many of those teams are out there. I don't see it. I think Dell is stubborn with what he's willing to take back for Gordon, and I just don't see any team giving an offer that he's going to say yes to.
Okay.
It's the tough spot with Gordon that we said last year that Dell might be in. It's that, you know, he's injury free. He's going to be playing fairly well. So obviously fans aren't going to want to trade him, but it's the only time he has value. Once he gets injured again, fans do want to trade him. Obviously, you won't be able to get anything. It's a weird game of where do you pull that trigger? I mean, if you pull it in February, you probably get less than if you ride it out and he plays 82 games than you could get in the summer. But, you know, if you don't pull the trigger in February, he gets hurt again, then you probably can't even move him in the summer and you got to wait some more. I mean, it's a tough little game to play if you're Dell. Unless you're just willing to bite the bullet, and you never know. Maybe Dell is just thinking, I'm going to keep him no matter what and have faith and really try it out with these three guys.
Yeah. Just because I didn't give it, I actually think there's like a 50% chance he's gone by the trade deadline.
50.
50.
And I mean, do you think, so we've seen Rudy Gay get traded twice now. Mm-hmm. Would you say that a return would be for more, less, or about the same of what Rudy Gay is?
About the same.
So basically, some fringe rotation player, a solid veteran, and then maybe a decent guy on a rookie contract.
Unless you manage to get your hands on another young player who doesn't fit at all.
Okay.
Which, there's not a lot of them running around. So, yeah. Okay, so that's our Eric Gordon, Tyreke Evans podcast. And we'll be back a little later this week.